Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot, and the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Welcome in Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report here on the Big X Sports Radio. Lee Kelly is in studio with me, and we are glad to have you with us on this Thursday program. We are inching closer to the start of college football. I guess you could say the official start of college football, and definitely the start of the IU football season on Saturday when they take on Ball State. Lee, I don't know about you, but we've made it through the summer period of sports. It doesn't ever get too boring around here, I don't think, but we have college football on tap. I mean, in a big way this weekend, IU football, obviously, to talk about each and every day. And basketball made some big advances this week with the schedule coming out, the roster being finalized or posted. That led to some interesting things that we're going to talk about today with Alex Bozich as well. But also, with the basketball season, with things gearing up, I should say, for the basketball season. You put all that together, and high school football's well underway. We're back to a heavy dose of daily items, which is a good thing.
Yeah, it is. A lot of things going on. High school have all the fall sports that are in full swing right now, and you mentioned college football back with us. I'm not sure you could call that Florida-Miami game college football last week, but I'm sure people did, but that was one of the worst games I think I've seen on TV in a long time for major teams.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, you know, it's fun time right now.
I do want to mention this as well, because I have just been overwhelmed with text messages and emails and phone calls the last couple days. Yes, we are aware, like many of you, and some of you it will not have heard this, but there is a lot of rumors circulating right now about one of the big high school basketball jobs in the area, that there could be a change and that there could be some announcements forthcoming soon. Really don't get into discussing things without having it official. Don't have, you know, a full source on that. But it is something that I expect to have later this week or early next week. In fact, we are planning to do a show on Labor Day as well. Don't know that anything will break on Labor Day, but there is a lot going on right now in that regard, and I hate to be somebody that dances around situations and doesn't talk about specifics or give specific schools or specific names, but we want to make sure that everything is finalized and that it is something that we can announce and that it is official and things like that. But clearly there have been some rumors about a big job, a big situation here in the area, and that is something that I expect will catch a lot of people by surprise. If everything does go as what we've heard, like some of you've heard, and we'll, I'm sure, be the first to talk about it in a big way. But again, yes, for those of you that say, Matt, you're supposed to be on the inside of things. Why are you not talking about this big news? Well, it's hard to talk about rumors and gossip and those sorts of things. I want to make sure that we're very factual and that we have the proper sources in place. And right now, those are just not there officially to do so. But there could be. I'll put you on alert at least if you haven't heard some of the rumors circulating in the area. There could be some big news with high school coaching ranks here in the area. So that's another thing I think that's worth mentioning. Bear with us on that. More to come, I think it's safe to say.
And my comment to that is thank you, Matt Dennison, for not being a Dan Dockich. So thank you for staying within the realm of what is known, not what's rumored.
Local sports, high school sports, these are people that we know, people that we in many cases like, people in many cases that we have a history with, and we want to make sure that it all is figured out the right way, and that's not for us to be a part of that process. But once it is official and there has been some sort of announcement, So, again, for those of you that don't know what I'm talking about, you're probably like, gosh, what in the world's going on? Many of you do. It's been circulating on social media and other places. You'll know exactly what I'm talking about in the specific situation. But I promise when the time is right, we'll have much more on it coming your way here on the Hoosier Report. Let's look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, Lee and I will have some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. IU, we know now, kind of another little tidbit we've learned this week. It's been a big week for basketball, who their closed-door scrimmage opponent's going to be and when it's going to be. We'll talk about that. Also, a couple football things. Jalen Bridges, who just recently put IU in his top five, his final five, is going to make a commitment, make a decision. He now has a date set. We'll tell you about that and some other things coming up in the first segment as well. Later in the program, Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall joins Lee Kelly and I. Alex was down in Evansville earlier this week. He got to hear from Archie Miller both in a press conference before, and then, of course, I think it was like a 51-minute speech that Archie gave, including answering some questions to the fans down at Evansville Harrison High School, which I thought was a really neat event. So we'll talk some about that with Alex, other basketball topics as well, and that's the guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget to mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll receive a dollar off your boxed lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Lee Kelly, football's back. IU Ball State this weekend. You know, Indiana, I think, 100% expected to win, predicted to win. I think that's what people think will happen. And I think people think Indiana will win this game and should win this game, not in a real close margin either. But when you read about Ball State, they've got a lot of returning players both on the offense and defense side of things, and it's a Ball State team that does have some experience. So I'm going to be interesting to see. I think Indiana will win. I think Indiana, again, can, I hate to say dominate the game, but be the clear leader in this game. But when you read about a team that has experience and things like that returning, kind of always makes you wonder. Maybe it'll be a bigger test than what we think in week one for IU football.
It's always scary in that first game because it's unknown quantities on both sides. And every game for IU is a must-win game when opponents like this, because there are certain games on the schedule that I would love to see IU win, but realistically, Ohio State, you can't put in the win column. I don't care how much you've had to drink, you can't put IU in the win column against. So a game like Ball State is very critical, and I would love to see Tom Allen and IU get to a bowl game this year. I think it's the next step they need to make in the progression of returning IU football to being competitive and being able to recruit the good players. So a critical game for IU on Saturday.
As we draw close to the season, obviously this weekend's game is at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis, but it does draw the point that Indiana is allowing alcohol sales this year. And I saw earlier in the week Fred Glass, the athletic director, had a press conference that he normally does heading into football season just to talk some general things, to talk football, maybe policy changes, other announcements with facilities that they might have. But in addition to his normal spiel, he introduced some special signage that reminded people to drink responsibly and even had a number to call if someone around you is annoying and taking away your enjoyment because of alcohol or any other reason. You just text or call this number, which is kind of different, and I like it. It's almost like a direct way to solve a problem. But it was interesting. There's been a lot of talk about alcohol sales in this offseason at Big Ten schools. More and more and more are going to it, including a handful of schools like Indiana that are starting to allow it this year. Louisville obviously has for many, many years, but Kentucky's still not going down that path. Mitch Barnhart, the athletic director there, kind of putting his foot down when it comes to that. Any thoughts on that as we enter football season? You know, it's one of those things that it does probably add to the experience. And I think a lot of people will maybe consider not just tailgating, but making their way from the tailgate into the game if they know they can continue drinking on that football Saturday. But there are some things to consider on the opposite side of it, I think, as well. It's very interesting to see where schools are coming down in their opinion of this.
Yeah, and Kentucky's one that the state that is known for bourbon isn't going to serve bourbon if they ever do decide to add alcohol. So that interests me a little bit. I'm not a big drinker, so it wouldn't affect me one way or the other unless people were berserk around you. But I think part of them entered the stadium that way before they ever had alcohol sales. So I don't know how I feel about it exactly. I look at the prices, and I think mostly in the $8 to $10 range for a beer, depending on if you're getting one of the domestics or you're getting a different type of beer, whatever. So I really don't know how I feel about it. If it makes the game more enjoyable to people, then that's fine. But I don't see it as adding much. A good running back, a star quarterback, would make the game much more enjoyable for me.
Absolutely. Also, moving on into a couple basketball notes I want to get to quickly. IU has played, most Division I teams have played in closed-door private scrimmages where there are no fans to start their season. October 20th is going to be Indiana playing in a closed-door scrimmage. Their opponent is going to be Marquette, and the game will be it's not been the location of the game has not been it's a scrimmage really has not been announced, although it will not be in Milwaukee, and that comes from Ben Steele, who is a beat writer for the Marquette men's basketball team with the Journal Sentinel in that area. So interesting. October 20th, Indiana Marquette closed door scrimmage. There's no box scores. You might be lucky enough to find out who won the game, but no real details will be announced from those contests if it's anything like in years past. Some schools have been more liberal in putting stuff out and doing some social media stuff than others, but with Indiana in the last at least couple seasons that I can remember these happening, really you get no details at all. When Ben Steele, the beat writer for Marquette, writes the location of the scrimmage is to be announced, though it won't be in Milwaukee, I have no idea how to take that as far as if it'll be a road scrimmage or where it may, a neutral site scrimmage. Obviously, we now know another piece of IU basketball looking ahead to the 2019-2020 season, and that is that IU and Marquette will have a closed-door scrimmage on October 20th. Also, a recruiting note, Jalen Bridges. He not too long ago announced a top five that included Indiana. And yesterday he tweeted out that he is going to commit on Halloween. So still some time as we head to September 1st, coming up very soon. Still some time between now and when Jalen Bridges will make his decision. But, you know, Lee, IU has the fourth and final or fifth and final, not sure which one it is, official visit for Bridges. And so I guess if you're a coach, there's a couple ways to look at it. You could want to get the first one. You could want to get the last one. But Indiana, at least how it stands right now, will have the opportunity to get the final sales pitch to Jalen Bridges and whoever attends the official visit with him. So another 2020 prospect. And I'm wondering more and more about the 2020 recruiting class based on comments that Archie Miller made earlier this week at Evansville, because really from the state of Indiana, with who Indiana has in Galloway and Leal and the other players that are off the board that maybe Indiana paid some attention to but didn't offer scholarships to that have already committed elsewhere in division, you know, pretty high Division I basketball, I'm not sure where else you turn in the state of Indiana. That's why you think about Matt Cross and Jordan Geronimo, who's coming in this week for an official visit. But when Archie Miller said down at Evansville that the 2020 recruiting class could have between four and six players, he estimated, you know, they're at two now. And so to get to six, that's a lot of additions in the 2020 class between now and the end of the, let's say, their senior years, and obviously when they graduate. So there could be things with the 2020 class, guys that are seniors right now, that maybe we're not thinking about, because it's unlikely Indiana's going to land every single player that they are in contention for right now and get to five or six. There are probably going to be, if that's going to be the case, especially if it gets to six, some names maybe that we haven't thought a lot about or haven't even talked about at all at this point that could potentially be targets for Indiana to join the class. And I'm also curious if anybody will emerge between now and early in the high school season that maybe from in the state that could get on IU's radar that's not already committed somewhere else, or maybe someone right now that's more of a mid-major level prospect. I'll tell you, somebody I think of as an example, like a Trey Coleman at Jeffersonville. He's got all sorts of Division I offers. He was initially had an offer from mid-major offers. He initially had an offer from Nebraska back under the previous coaching staff. I don't think he has one under the new staff. Iowa has been interested in him. Purdue has watched him. I'm sure that Indiana has as well. But right now, people would describe him as pretty much a mid-major level player, somebody that's going to pick an Indiana State or an Evansville or something of that level. But Trevor Andershock was with us last week, and he mentioned Trey Coleman. If he wanted to play out his senior year, could he take that mid-major level status and bump up a little bit to a Big Ten level school? And perhaps that could be, especially if Indiana's class gets much bigger and goes 4 to 6 players, someone like him that right now you don't necessarily think of as a Big Ten player after his high school career perhaps could end up being. So that comment from Archie Miller from a recruiting perspective, with all the recruiting things we talk about, is very, very interesting to consider where Indiana could go and might have to go to fill some of the needs in that class.
Yeah, and there's so many different avenues anymore with the graduate students coming in. Who would put their name in that portal and might be available, might consider IU. So it's interesting, the progression of recruiting through the years, and we'll have to wait and see. Archie may shock us with somebody we haven't thought about, seen, heard of, or so on. So the biggest problem with Trey Coleman that I see, he plays on a team that is so talented, there's so many pieces to that puzzle, that he's not going to shine with a ton of points or whatever. So if you just read the newspaper clippings or whatever, he may not impress you. But, man, when you see him play and you realize how athletic that young man is and what a great personality he's got, he's a bona fide player D1.
Speaking of Archie Miller in Evansville, another great event. I wasn't there, obviously, watched the 50-plus minutes of speech that he had, answered a lot of questions. I replayed a 4 or 5 minute clip about Romeo yesterday, which I thought was terrific.
Thought it was great.
The press conference, he answered a lot of stuff. And again, you don't hear from him all the time. So especially at this time of year when things are just starting to develop and school's back in session and rosters and schedules are being set, it's really interesting time to hear from the coach. I think the Evansville event this time of year, if they can match it up with the schedule release and with some other things, could be just an outstanding annual event for IU basketball fans, especially from Southern Indiana and specifically that corner of the state. So very interesting to see that happen. I'm very curious if this becomes an annual event. I think I read or saw that there were about 400 people there at the Shoulders Family Commons on the campus of Harrison High School. But if that becomes an annual event and it's this time of year when people, I know even football's starting, but basketball's really on the back of people's minds and they're wanting to know more, wanting to think more about it, I think this time of year it could become a big deal. I'll be curious to see if that happens.
And will it have any bearing on whether there's a D1 guard that's available down in that area or not?
Well, we saw Archie when he came to Huber's mention that, yes, he knew where New Albany, Indiana was or whatever the little soundbite from that was, and now we hear him make a similar comment about he loves Evansville, especially when it comes to recruiting purposes. So yeah, that wouldn't help, wouldn't hurt the cause, I'm sure. But again, I thought a great event, yeah. And learned a lot from it, enjoyed hearing what he had to say. And you know, for a guy that is like Matt, he's really matter of fact, and there's not a lot of BS with him, to be quite honest. He does in that format, I thought he's terrific when it comes to answering questions and including the former players and you know, tying in all the things that, and I'm sure he's got some help on the way down with some mental notes and things like that, but he does do a great job tying everything together. And I thought the Evansville event was terrific. It's free to the public, a little different format. You know, you go to Huber's, you get that great fried chicken and that great dinner that they have, and it's a little different setting, and it's very, very neat in its own regard, but I thought the Evansville deal was, especially the timing of it, was really good. I'll be curious to see if it's something that continues. Those are the headlines for this Thursday edition of the program. Lee Kelly is in studio with me as always on Thursdays. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall joins Lee and I, Alex of Inside the Hall, and we're going to talk more about Archie's appearance and some of the things he had to say down at Evansville earlier this week, and a lot more coming up after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And welcome back, Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. He's always with us on Thursdays as we talk IU basketball. Lee Kelly is in studio with me. And Alex, for a week that really marks the kickoff of college football and of IU football as well, it's been a big basketball week, thanks in part to Archie Miller's visit to Evansville to preview the season, take questions from fans, and bring a lot of big IU topics to the forefront. Really, really enjoyed it. Of course, could not be there, but really enjoyed your coverage, your videos you put online of the event. And curious, and I asked Jeff this yesterday, I'm curious maybe your biggest takeaway from what Archie Miller had to say to the fans at Harrison High School in Evansville.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a good event in a lot of ways, similar to what goes on every year at Huber's down here in Southern Indiana. But I think it was good to kind of reach a different part of the state that IU is not necessarily always has gone, you know, going down there to have some representation. So that was, I think, a good thing. In terms of what he said that stood out, you know, obviously the first thing I think people were curious about was the hiring of Mike Roberts. And he was asked a little bit about that in the press conference that we did with that he did beforehand with the media. And you know, he kind of, you know, went over line by line some of the things that he liked about the hire, and at the top of the list was, you know, the willingness to work and the work ethic. He talked a lot about, you know, Mike Roberts being at IU for, you know, arguably their high point in the last 20 years, going to the national championship game, but also noted that, you know, towards the end of his career at IU, you know, they were really struggling. So from a player perspective, he's been there in the shoes of being an IU player and can kind of, you know, give the current players an idea of kind of what it was like to succeed at the highest level and also what it was like when things weren't going so well. So I think that was interesting and important. Obviously the Jerome Hunter stuff, I think maybe people are reading a little bit too much into what he has said to this point in terms of him being cleared. I don't think that necessarily means that he's cleared to play in a game. I just think it means that he's doing everything that the team's doing right now. There's obviously a difference between preseason conditioning and things like that and actually stepping foot on the court in a game. So we'll see how that progresses. But it definitely sounds like things are trending in the right direction. That's notable. And you know, he talked, we can probably go down the list of, he talked a little bit pretty much about every player on the roster. I think, you know, most of the feedback that I got from or kind of the my reaction to what he said was it sounds like everybody has a chance to play. They only have 11 scholarship players. Usually you play, you know, 9, maybe 10 guys. So there's going to be opportunity for virtually everybody that's on scholarship to get minutes, and it's up to the guys that are in that locker room to kind of take advantage of those opportunities. But yeah, I mean, it was in terms of an off season update. I mean, he talked to the fans for, I think if you include the Q&A, it was 51 minutes. That's more than we typically get in on a weeknight in August. So it was great for those of us who were, you know, trying to create content and keep interest in the program up to get all those updates. And it was you know, a really well-run event. I'd never been down there before to Evansville Harrison, but they had a nice, you know, area for people to gather. I think there was a little bit more than probably 300 people there. So all in all, a good experience. And it also doesn't hurt to get down there and kind of get the brand out, given the fact that they're really after Christian Lander hard. And, you know, Archie Miller couldn't specifically talk about Christian Lander, but, you know, it's similar to what he did a couple of years ago at Huber's, saying he knew where New Albany was. Someone who was recruiting Romeo, he dropped some hints that he likes to be in Evansville as much as possible. So that was also another takeaway.
Let's talk a little bit about Jerome Hunter, because to me he's a very enticing player. He apparently had some outstanding practices a year ago, and then the injury bug jumped up and bit him, and so we really don't know what he would bring to the table. As you view what's been said and what you know, should we hope that by midseason, by late season, that he will be a valuable part of the team, or is it too soon to say that he's really going to be able to participate in games at the level that he did when he arrived at IU last year as a freshman?
Yeah, if he's 100% healthy and can play, you know, even, you know, 20, 25 minutes a game, and I think he's possibly the most talented guy they have in that locker room in terms of impact. He's, you know, I watched him in high school. I can remember after Archie first got the job, I went down to Dallas, playing there for an Adidas team, and he's the real deal. He's a really good player in terms of versatility because of his size. He can play the four. He can also slide down and play the three. He can shoot from the perimeter. He's got a pretty good ball handling ability. So in terms of his potential impact, if he's healthy, I think it's huge. The one thing I will say is, even if he is able to play, people have to remember that there's going to be there's going to be some cobwebs for him to kind of, dust off, because he hasn't played competitive basketball, you know, for over a year now. I mean, you don't sit out and not play for a year and just go back to where you were. And as you mentioned, he was really good last year in the preseason. I think at one point he won the gold jersey, and that was right before he was ruled out with the injury, and then subsequently missed the whole season. But yeah, I think he's, you know, if he's able to play and contribute in a major way, you know, I think he's the kind of player that can make a difference between making the tournament and not making the tournament. I think that's how good he is.
Alex Bozich inside the hall talking about some of the big notes, big quotes that Archie Miller had earlier this week down in the Evansville area, talking about IU basketball for the upcoming season. I really thought the player-by-player breakdown, in fact, I went back to your website even after we aired some of it yesterday. I went back and listened to that again, with what he had to say about each player. Really some interesting stuff. I guess thinking back to the Huber's events and maybe some press conferences at times, he's been so forthcoming, but I thought really great information, great breakdown almost of any of those players. I always ask this time of year, I know we've talked about this, Alex, you know, who do you feel could be a player that really steps up for Indiana or really finds a role and ends up having a big season? Maybe somebody we're not thinking about. So I guess my question now is, after hearing what Archie had to say earlier this week, is there a player that, or two players, or a handful of players that you're very interested to see or to find out more about based on his report in Evansville the other night?
Yeah, I mean, I'm interested for sure to see Demezi Anderson, just to, you know, because last year I thought in many ways early in the season he was kind of thrown in to the fire before he was ready, and I think that hurt his confidence, and I don't think, you know, they ever really envisioned him playing as much as he did early in the season, and ultimately, you know, he just really never got on track, and I think he's better than what he showed, but he's going to have to make shots to get minutes, but he's one guy that I'm, you know, based on what Archie said and just thinking, you know, down the roster, because, you know, I think we can all agree there's probably 7 or 8 guys who are locked into minutes, and then you get to those last couple spots. The other guy who we've talked about him a lot, Armon Franklin, I've had people ask me, you know, is he going to be more similar in terms of his impact to a Bob Fennessy or what Demezi was last year, and you know, I would say somewhere in the middle, but I think he's going to play. I mean, based on what Archie said the other night, you know, they really only have 3 guards with any experience. You know, look at Fennessy, Durham, and Green. So Franklin's going to have to come in and play right away, and I think the thing that is going to be able to keep him on the floor is his ability to shoot the ball from the perimeter. Indiana just doesn't have very many guys still that are knockdown shooters, and he shot it really well last season at Cathedral. So those are really two of the guys that kind of stood out from his comments. The other guy that, you know, he talked up and, you know, kind of arguably the most polarizing player on the team last year, Justin Smith, because, you know, he had those 2 great games against Michigan State, but he had the other moments where teams just wouldn't guard him, and, you know, that really hurt Indiana. But Archie talked a lot about Justin Smith's ability defensively, and I think one of the big storylines heading into the season, people are wondering, you know, are they going to play Deron Davis or Joey Brunk alongside Trace Jackson Davis, or, you know, will Justin Smith continue to start at the 4? And reading between the lines last night, it seemed to me like Justin Smith is probably going to have the first crack at, you know, retaining his spot at the 4. So Archie said, you know, he's got the potential to be an all Big Ten defense type of player, and we'll see if that comes to fruition.
As I was reading through the roster that was recently released, there were stories accompanying that about each player gaining weight. And normally when you have the freshman 15, it's not a good thing. And if IU wanted players to gain weight, they could have just followed me around for a couple of days and I could have taken care of that. But I'm assuming this is muscle, and we attribute the new strength coach to bulking these guys up, as he's had them now for a year. And that being a good thing rather than the freshman 15.
Yeah, I mean, the big one there, I think, was Joey Brunk putting on 15 pounds. I mean, he, I think last year was listed at 230 at Butler. He's 245, and it to me sounds like, based on what came out this summer, and, you know, he won, I think, whatever they call it, the MVP in the weight room over the summer. He seems to have transformed his body in a positive way, so that's a good thing. And both of the freshmen, I mean, you saw it with the guys last year. If you saw Rob Fennessy when he got on campus, he was already a strong kid, but by the end of the summer and going into the fall, he kind of looked like a bodybuilder. I mean, his arms were noticeably bigger, and he was in better shape. So, it's the work that really – you know, it's not publicized. People don't see, we worry so much about the games, and we talk about, you know, so-and-so did this in the game, but these guys really are working on their craft 365 days a year, whether it's in the gym putting up shots, whether it's, you know, getting in the weight room, whether it's, you know, running, conditioning, things like that. These guys put in a ton of work, and we really only get to see the games as kind of to judge them by, but, you know, it's important to remember that these guys put in a ton of work, and they really have to be dedicated to play at this level. So that's one thing that's important to remember.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall. I want to talk a little recruiting today and start with a comment from Coach Miller earlier this week. He mentioned in the 2020 class 4 to 6 players, and I talked about this some in the first segment with Lee a little earlier today. Obviously, 2 players in the fold right now. Jordan Geronimo takes an official visit this weekend. Matt Cross is another player. Jalen Bridges. There are others in the 2020 class, but I'm not sure that any of us who follow this stuff closely thought that the recruiting class could grow to as much as 6. And I guess Lee mentioned this as well. You could be talking about not just incoming freshmen, but graduate transfers, with how active that market is now in the offseason, as we know from this past year and the addition of Joey Brunk to IU. But does that surprise you at all, hearing him say the 2020 class could be as many as 6 new faces for Indiana?
Yeah, I mean, I don't. It's one of those things where you don't want to put a hard cap on the number of guys you want to take. Say you're going to take, because if an opportunity comes along to get a 5-star type of kid, of course you're going to figure it out and let things work out. You know, he said back at Huber's it was going to be 4. He still kept it at, 4 to 6 the other night. I would be surprised if it's, 6 players. To me, that would be a lot to take in one class, in your third full recruiting cycle, and that would have to mean that some guys were going to leave either early to the pros or transfer. So, they're in on so many guys right now. I think it's more of just not wanting to limit or say, we only have 2 spots. You better take a spot now. I'm sure if they could get, just hypothetically speaking here, a front court player who's highly ranked, a point guard who's highly ranked, and a wing that's highly ranked, they would figure out a way to take 5 players. So I wouldn't read too much into that. I think it's kind of just a general guideline of what the class could potentially be, depending on who wants to come and what their options are.
Alex, is there anybody on the roster at IU that fans should be worried about leaving early to go to the NBA? And Trace Jackson would probably be one that would jump out first. But in your opinion, is that realistic at this point?
I would be surprised. I'm just thinking kind of down the roster. I mean, in terms of long-term NBA potential, Jerome Hunter and Trace Jackson Davis probably have the most, and Hunter's obviously a huge question mark because of the health. And Trace Jackson Davis is just not the – don't get me wrong, he's a great player. He's a McDonald's All-American, but he's not the one-and-done player. I'll be surprised if he's not at IU for at least 2, maybe 3 seasons, depending on how he develops here. So I don't see anybody really that jumps out in terms of, being able to make the leap after this season. No, I don't.
Alex Bozich inside the hall with us. IU announced, I guess really it wasn't announced by Indiana, but we found out from the beat writer for Marquette, Ben Steele, that Marquette will be IU's closed-door scrimmage opponent this season. It's going to take place on October 20th with the location still to be announced. Those scrimmages, I'm sure, are great opportunities for coaches to put it all together with what they're working on in the offseason, getting ready for the start of the regular season. But as far as for fans go, obviously it's closed. There's no broadcast. There's no box score. Often you don't even find out who won the scrimmage, and I don't even know if score as far as for the entire contest is always kept. I think there are multiple different formats you can use in that. But Indiana and Marquette, for what it's worth, that's who the Hoosiers are going to go against behind the curtain, you could say, for this to get ready for this 2019-2020 season.
Yeah, I mean, last year I think the rules were maybe a little bit more relaxed on that stuff for whatever reason. I think IU's first press notes of the season, they had a little blurb in there about the Loyola scrimmage with a final score and some statistics. They're not going to publish a box score because there's nothing really to be gained out of that. But, I'll be shocked if some details don't trickle out as that happens. But, I think it's a good opportunity because, most times in the past, IU would play 2 exhibition games. And, I think that's productive in terms of giving some of the smaller programs around the state a chance to come play in Assembly Hall. The reality is those are not super competitive games. So if you can do 1 exhibition game and then play a close scrimmage, I think that's really kind of ideal. And they played, as I said, Loyola last year, and then Marquette's an opponent that they're familiar with. They played them last season, but Marquette's a lot different this year with the Hauser brothers transferring out, and they'll still have Marcus Howard, though, so that'll be interesting. Good to play another Power 5 school early just to kind of see where things stand. And, IU is probably not going to be challenged very much in November, so to have a chance early just to go against another really good program, I think it's a good opportunity and a smart move by IU to do that.
Alex, when can the team officially start practice for the upcoming season?
It's 6 weeks before the season opener. Okay. So whatever that Tuesday is, like the last week of September, I believe, is the first day they can officially start. It's usually, you know, that doesn't mean they will start that day, because you only have a certain number of practices you can get in before the, you know, a certain number of hours too that you can work. But I don't think that's last year they necessarily started the first day they were able to, but the official start of practice, when teams can practice, is 6 weeks before the start of the regular season, is the way I understand it.
So at this point, the players are probably expected to be in the gym in kind of an open gym type situation, working out on their own?
Yeah, well, there's also right now they can do workouts with the coaches, but it's limited to a certain number of weeks. So usually things like that are done in like individual settings, small groups, and then obviously the other day Archie mentioned that they had a team workout, but it's not practice. It's more just kind of, you know, preseason type stuff. Not as I would say, once practice starts, that you're preparing, you know, for you're going to start to get in your game day routine. You know, a couple weeks before the season, you're going to start getting the younger guys kind of accustomed to what a game week, game day is going to look like. Right now, it's more of an informal thing and much more limited in terms of what they can do in terms on court instruction. And I think a lot of that's done, you know, that there's rules for this type of stuff, because the NCAA realizes that, and I'm not saying this would happen at IU, because I think in many ways Archie Miller, you know, doesn't overwork guys, but there would be certain programs where if you allowed open access in terms of practice and stuff, these guys would just be completely worn down by the end of the season. So there's rules and things like that as to what they can do right now. But the official start of practice will be, 6 weeks before the season opener.
Alex Bozich inside the hall. He joins the Hoosier Report on Thursdays. Lots of discussion each week about IU basketball, recruiting, and more. And, of course, a great time of year to have Alex with us as we draw closer, slowly, but closer to the start of the 2019-2020 season. Alex, thank you. We'll talk to you again next week. Appreciate the chat.
Sounds good, guys. Have a good one.
Alex Bozich inside the hall. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back. Lee and I wrap things up for this Thursday program, a look ahead at week two of high school football here in Southern Indiana. We'll talk about some of the big games and get you set for Friday, and more coming up next right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Final segment. Lee Kelly is with me. Week two of high school football coming up on Friday night. Don't forget, 6 o'clock, we have our Kentuckiana kickoff show here on the Big X Sports Radio, our Southern Indiana Game of the Week, Floyd Central and Providence. We'll talk with Larry Dennison and James Bragg, both coaches of those teams, in the 6 o'clock hour, in our Metro Louisville Game of the Week. It's Ballard at Mail, and we'll talk with both Coach Morton and Coach Wolf in the kickoff show as well. So Friday, as you head out to a game or you come home from work or whatever you've got going Friday evening, don't forget about the Kentuckiana High School football kickoff show at 6 o'clock. Then, as we get into our Southern Indiana coverage here on the Big X at 7 o'clock, we've got Floyd Central at Providence. We'll have play-by-play coverage there. That's where we'll start the night at 7 o'clock with the kickoff. Also, we have access to Seymour at Jeffersonville. Lee Kelly is going down to Castle. That's where the New Albany Bulldogs play on Friday. So three games that we have access to, and we'll rotate around the area as well as regular scoreboards to keep you posted on all the area games, call-in reports from other games that we're not featuring, And, of course, down the stretch, as things maybe tighten up in the fourth quarter, we'll be able to bounce around, or maybe not. Maybe we'll keep it with the closest game with our around-the-area coverage on Southern Indiana Football Fridays. And if that's not enough, when it's all said and done, we have the Southern Indiana Scoreboard Show. We had so much fun with that last week, hearing from coaches, victorious coaches for the most part, some media members and others, in addition to giving you full scoreboard for the area high school football scene. It's a great way to wrap up the night. We're headed into week two. Should be a lot of fun. And Lee, some interesting games and interesting storylines, as there are every week, but especially early in the year as we get ready for the second Friday of Friday football, Friday night under the lights, whatever you want to call it, Boyd Central at Providence. That's kind of got a rivalry feel to it. Boyd Central coming off of a loss to Male over in Louisville, perennial power. Kind of hard to read this game because Providence was a winner over what seems to be a solid Bardstown Bethlehem team, also down in Kentucky. Floyd Central, a loser to maybe one of the best in the Bluegrass State. So, little unknown. Wouldn't surprise me if Floyd got this one fairly easily. Also, wouldn't surprise me if Floyd and Providence was very tight. We'll have to see how it plays out.
Yeah, Providence with that single wing, you don't see that offense very often. And I can remember hearing coaches at New Albany, a couple of teams they played ran that, and they talked about how difficult it's the only time you might see it all year. So, how much time do you spend trying to get ready for it? It's a little different look, and so it could make a difference in that ball game.
But that's going to be one of the highlight games on Friday, and again, that's a rivalry feel to that contest as well. Other storylines, Lee, as we look across the area, Jeffersonville opens up Hoosier Hills Conference play. They take on Seymour. Seymour, I understand, runs the ball a lot. They were victorious in their week one contest. That will be interesting, as well as will New Albany at Castle. I was really surprised to see the Castle score. I don't recall it specifically, but they were beat fairly handily last week in their week one game, and that's always been a great power in Southern Indiana football and a tough place to play. New Albany beat an Evansville-Harrison team who I understand was just a very mediocre team. So it'll be interesting to see that game and how things play out. I think we'll know a lot more about New Albany after that contest on Friday. Also, another game that stands out, Brownstown at Charlestown. You know, the Pirates start the season off with a very tough schedule, starting with rival Silver Creek last Friday and then hosting Brownstown, who has been the class of the Mid-Southern Conference now for years and years on this Friday. So those are just a handful of things that stand out as I look at this Week 2 schedule. Again, we're early enough in the season where there's still a lot of excitement for all the area teams, but after Week 2 and definitely after Week 3, you can really start, I think, to have a better understanding on how things could shake out in our area.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. Charlestown, man, how do they find a way to get Luke's open and downfield? They got him open one time against Silver Creek last week, but just not enough. They held the Dragons down for three-plus quarters, but in the fourth quarter, and matter of fact, the last 6 minutes of the game, Silver Creek comes up with two scores. Another game that we've talked a little bit about, and that is Eastern Pekin playing at Clarksville. Would love to have nothing against Eastern Pekin, don't misunderstand, but hate for any school to have to go through what they have. I believe it's up to 46 games in a row they have lost, but they keep getting closer and closer. Last week we sat here and watched, followed that game, and man, there for a while we thought this is the week that it's going to happen. Scott Bozier does a nice job. Is really working hard to put a program together over there, and so certainly wish him good luck. Friday night they are at home, and I'm just trying to picture the celebration that they could end that losing streak.
Yeah, no question about it. We probably have talked as much or more Clarksville football in the first 2 weeks because I think everybody cheering for them to get the win, and it was great to talk with Coach Bozier last week, even though it was a narrow loss for his team. You can tell there is some excitement there and that there's some change going on there, and it's been really fun to follow and really fun to watch. And let's see if Friday night, week two, August 30th, if that's not the night that Clarksville erases that streak, and who knows what happens from that point forward. We're looking forward to the coverage on Friday. Again, it all starts at 6 o'clock with the Kentuckiana High School kickoff show, our Southern Indiana Football Fridays coverage. That's kind of a wraparound red zone on the radio, updates from here and there, jerking it around from play-by-play to play-by-play if a game tightens up or if there's a scoring drive. That's a lot of fun for us to bring to you. We hope that you enjoy it. Make sure you listen if you're at a game. Make sure you listen on your way to the game, on your way home for the scoreboard. Lots of coverage coming your way. I really feel like, Lee, we cover Southern Indiana football in a way that no one else does and really at a level that no one else does. And Friday nights are hectic. A lot of nights you've been in the studio with me very kindly. This week you'll be headed down to be a reporter at the Castle New Albany game. But as hectic as it is, I'm exhausted when Friday night ends. But I look forward to the next one, and especially these first few weeks to find out how our teams are going to do and what kind of seasons it could be. It's always fun. So there's a number of games to follow very intently this week, and we'll do it all for you Friday night here on the Big X.
Yeah, and I hope everybody gets the opportunity. It looks like it's going to be another great weather night for high school football. Hope you're able to get out and follow your local team, whoever that may be, and enjoy a little high school football. You're going to like it.
That's going to wrap things up for this Thursday edition of the program. Lee, thanks, as always, for sitting in with me today. We will talk to you next tomorrow night down in the Evansville area when you have coverage of New Albany at Castle Forest here on the Big X, one of our three games that we'll be rotating around through tomorrow night for coverage here on the station. Again, I'll be back with you Friday. Excited because on Friday, not only do we have Jared Morris and Kyle Neddenrip with us, but we'll also talk with the high school coach of Jordan Geronimo, who begins his official visit to IU this weekend. He's, I don't want to say an unknown player to us, but he's not from the state, not from the Midwest, and he's a player that absolutely has been getting all sorts of attention and definitely has had his seen his stock increase greatly over the summer months of travel basketball. That's going to wrap things up for today. Don't miss our program Friday, live at 11 o'clock right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.